Hello, everyone. Welcome to the post show here for episode 93. So, Adam, how was that fight supposed to go? Or not supposed to, but how did you envision it going?
So, it was totally based on, like, initiative. Because there was, like, a big thing, a big, like, undead summoning thing that would have killed a bunch of peasants early on, had I been able to go before you did. But Zeke did a great job of chasing the dude around. Like, he was trying to get away so I could do the thing, and I was just like, cool, all right, well, I'll just keep running away, and you just keep kicking on him, and we'll see what happens. And I think this fight really highlighted the strengths of the various characters, right? Like, the fact that we got to see how mobile the monk is. We got to see Ramus do all his cool cleric shit, and Maharib got to show off how strong he is and use some of your Battlemaster abilities. I thought it was really cool. It was a cool little battle. I didn't expect it to be necessarily very challenging, but it was fun kind of watching you guys get to stretch your muscles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool.
I think, from my point of view, this episode, and this is not a bad thing, but I feel like it was more focused on kind of introducing, Zeke's character, whereas my character is a little bit more reserved in kind of almost everything that he does. Because for him, this is just like a mercenary job. For Zeke, it seems kind of like we're returning. Like, how it's been a while since you've been home, right? Like, that was kind of hinted at. So that was a little bit more of the focus this episode, which I thought was awesome and fine. And I thought it worked that way. But I definitely saw a lot of people saying, like, why is JP's character just like a dude? I was like, well, because I'm not going to be like, and he does this and then that. It's like, no, I'm not going to. What do you want from me? I'm just a dude. I'm just a fucking normal guy right now. So
I have a tendency to, every time I make a character, I always, no matter what class or whatever, I always like to give my character a high charisma score because I'm a talker personally. Mm-hmm. And to play someone with such a low charisma score is strange for me because I don't want to be, like, because low charisma doesn't mean, you know, you don't talk. It just means, like, people don't gravitate towards you. You don't, like, get a, you don't have the, you are off-putting or something. So, like, I'm trying to lean into that with my drunkenness. And hence the belching and that kind of thing. But it's really strange for me because I always sink into the role of, like, the mouth of the group. And I kind of don't want that, but I mean, with Ramus suffering from his illness or his ailment, and Maharib being just a dude, and then there's going to be Berg. So, like, fuck.
We don't really have a face. Yeah, we don't have a face for the party. I think it will kind of be tossed around. It'll be like you trying different ways. It'll be me trying different things. But we don't really have a guy that's like, all right, we entered a town, start talking, right?
However, I will say, like, Kalimot's high stats did not fucking help.
They never helped anyways. Yeah.
Dude, my rolls were out of this world this time.
Yeah, everyone was rolling very well. Except for Maharib in the middle of the episode. But
that was so funny.
Yeah. I guess to speak on that for a second, I love the fact that failed, because as soon as it failed, I was like, oh, I'm getting this ox. Like, this, I'm going to become pals with this ox. Like, that makes sense with, like, the backstory. It makes sense with, like, him having a reverence for animals. Like, we're getting this ox. It's probably going to brutally die but.
Yeah, I loved your unwillingness to hurt it. I thought that was really cool. I thought you were, like, it was neat that you were like, you know what? We'll just, like, yeah, he's a dumb animal. He's pushing me around. We'll just give him a second, and, like, I'll work this out. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, I think that, like, character-wise, Goliaths as a race, like, have a reverence for, you know, the animals that they use on a daily basis and kind of their culture.
Yeah.
Killing an animal is just like killing a person to him, where it actually, like, it means something. It's not just, oh, another person dead. So, yeah. And I say that now, 30 episodes from now, I'll just be fucking murdering everything, I'm sure. But I'll try to keep it, that character aspect locked in, but we'll see how it goes.
Speaking of character aspects, I'm kind of wondering, and this is directed at you, Dan, like, I'm kind of wondering, like, I'm seeing kind of a maybe a paradigm shift for Ramis. Like, he was a crabby, you know, like kind of an asshole person. And now
he was a self-centered asshole. Yep.
Yeah. Like your demeanor is similar, but it seems like it's changing. Maybe you could could you speak on that a little bit? Maybe. I don't know. How are you feeling?
Yeah. Ramis is definitely going through a lot of changes, not just both physically and mentally. He's sort of becoming numb to his own desires he used to have. He's just sort of like the things just don't matter anymore like they used to. It's like he doesn't get joy he doesn't like feel joy very often, or sadness, or just so it's like all becoming numb. And so he's starting to fade away as his body is fading. And so, and also on top of that, he feels like he has a divine purpose to what he needs to do, and he needs to do it before his time is out. He doesn't have time for trivialities and self-pleasure and stuff. He's got like such a limited clock to do what he believes is saving not just himself, but the world from itself.
It's cool that Ramis is turning this, like, this is a problem for me into this is a problem for everyone. And like, sometimes you got to save the world just so you have a place to live. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. Man.
Yeah.
What a great statement. What a great, we said a mouthful there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, and I'm kind of seeing that. I think that's cool.
For sure. Yeah. I'm having fun treating the relationship right now between our two characters is literally like, I'm a mercenary. I don't talk much, because if I do, it's out of line. Like, you are the person that hired me, and I will treat it as such. And I definitely saw like both chat and you being like, oh, I really like this master stuff, like this, where this is great. Like,
we're gonna keep this
up. And it's great because we're seeing this response where like, that's the thing that is going to kind of tempt, or not tempt, but like give Ramis a chance to be old Ramis too, to be like, hey, yeah, I'm your boss.
Right.
Right. I think that's cool too.
Yeah. I mean, I think to an extent, there's probably a limit that'll occur before. Reeb is just like, fuck you. Like, I'm not doing, it depends on how far Ramis takes it. Like, if he's asking me to like, or if you're asking me to like clean your fucking boots, I'm going to be like, no, I'm not going to do that. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun with that too. I also noticed, that Zeke's character was kind of throwing a lot of, and some of them were just kind of like joking around, but there's definitely whereas Mahareeb's very like stern, you're very like lighthearted because you're basically drunk all the time. I didn't get a chance to plan it too much.
Easygoing.
Yeah, easygoing. Yeah, that's the word. I didn't get a chance to plan it too much, but I don't think Mahareeb's like against that. I think that he sees this as a job, and that'll kind of come up in a sense if we're sitting around a fire. Like, I'll just be honest and be like, you know, this is a job to me. I appreciate you being lighthearted, and I enjoy it, but it's a job, so we should get the job done first and then have fun later, et cetera. So that's kind of the attitude that at least I'll approach it for the next couple episodes.
Well, and also, I want to, for anybody watching this, that's why I asked what time of day it was, because it's 7 p.m., so he's deep into like keeping his drunk going all day. However, when the morning comes, like, you might see a completely different like person.
Yeah,
that's true.
Because drunk Zeke is not, I mean, it's close, but it's not the same as sober Zeke, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that'll be fun to RP around as well. I think it'll be also interesting we're gonna have kind of like the fucking bruise bros just walking around four of us with Berg thrown in the mix. It'll be a fucking melee dominant party, that's for sure.
I gotta tell you how much I love that. Absolutely love when parties don't go like healer tank, off tank DPS, like the stock. Love it when it's mixed up like this, like when it's like heavy to one side or the other, because it'll cause like problems. Or like some things will be super easy and some things will be fucking hard because we don't have certain aspects of that. And I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a ranged ability at all on my character. And so that was on purpose as well. It's like, well, I could take a javelin, but it doesn't make sense for me to really have a javelin, so I didn't take one. So the only mm-hmm. range we're gonna have is Max's like hand axes and Ramus. But what I do have is abilities that like will give you guys advantage, or if we're like all around one target, I can knock them on the ground and then we just fucking destroy them that combat round. And you have the stunning strike stuff, so it's the same kind of deal. Yeah. So it should be like
Battlemaster and Monk together are very tactical. It's sort of the opposite of a barbarian who just goes into a rage and eats damage and swings. So yeah, it'll be like the Berg wall, and then the two of you kind of having like I see Maharib as existing kind of in between the total utility of a monk and then the brute force of a barbarian. It'll be fun to see that in action.
For yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm excited mechanically to see how that goes down. I don't know. Anything else from the episode, you guys? We didn't really do too much like RP stuff. It was very conversation.
Yeah, this is more introducing kind of just the basics, and then we'll have some time to take it a little easier next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end, it was really surprising that the creature knew my name, that knew Ramus's name,
right,
and called him out. I was like, it's another mystery that we have to solve. I was like, why did he know my name?
Right.
Yeah. Why was he there?
This mysterious, mysterious priest and his undead servants know that Ramus Krill's come home. So yeah, that'll be cool to kind of play out.
Yeah, for sure.
Something that when you guys were talking about ranged, I saw the drawing in the the community page.
Right. Did you tweet that link out, by the way, Adam? Because I think you crashed the entire site.
I posted it in chat, but I'll try to.
Because the entire. Anyways, go ahead, Zeke. What were you gonna say? The art
in that little drawing, the jug that I use, which I'm so happy that Adam let me use that as my.
Yeah, that was really I love cool.
it. 12-pound jug. It has a rope. You put a rope on it, so. I might give me an idea, like as far as like just for like visual aids and visual stuff, like throwing the rope out, hitting someone in the face, dragging it back, hitting someone behind me, all the while like it looks like I'm drunkenly flailing, but I'm like precision shots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So long as we're just applying like the rules of the game, you can describe your karate however you want. Like if you want it to be like over the top kung fu shit, I'm all about it, so please.
Okay.
I mean, just know that, like, so this is a thing that chat was getting weird about, because some GMs and some games, and I think this is really stupid because I expect people to bring their A game in description all the time, but somebody's like, oh, can he have advantage for describing it in a cool way? And I'm like, that's a slippery slope, because then everybody just over like is just like, I'm gonna spend 20 minutes describing how I attack this guy with my sword. So it's like, describe it to the degree you want to be entertaining, and then leave it at that. Sometimes if you're just like, I punch him, and punch him again, because you're making four attacks some rounds. But if you have a particularly inspired way of you want to describe something, feel free to do it. I'll definitely like you were saying, like a headbutt, a trunk slap, a punch, a kick, like all of that, a sumo slam, it's all the same. It's an unarmed attack, so you can describe it however you want.
Yeah.
And that's like something I wanted to bring up and be like, I love it. I'm having so much fun with it. But if I start like embellishing like way too much, please feel free to like pull the reins and be like, all right. How about just the two punches rather than all that shit?
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll find our balance, right?
Yeah. It'll be fun. I'm excited for future episodes. Obviously, that backstory and purpose and all that stuff is something that comes out a little bit slower, I think. And characters on the show, it's not 2 hours of like, well, I'm here because of this reason. It's like, all right, well, here's a fight, here's a little bit of the side story, and that fight took 2 hours, so it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And during the character creation today, like, and now that I like before when I was creating Calumet, I had a completely different mindset, and now I let it kind of come out organically rather than writing a complete story beforehand.
Totally. Yeah.
Because it's easier to do that than to apply my backstory to what's going on, rather than apply what's going on to my backstory and say things like, can this have happened in the past? I like that. It gives it more weight.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, I prefer that way now as well.
So I just did like bullet points this time. I was like, these are facts.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, a lot of character ideas that I were going to be using were reactionary. Like I said, to call him out last time we did a post show. They didn't change all that much, which is cool because Adam just is going to let me roll with that stuff. But there's like MX plays a role now and all of that, and kind of coupling with why Ramus is going to visit and all that stuff. So it'll be fun with all that, without a doubt.
I'm also glad you proved me wrong. I said he's going to be a soft-spoken asshole. You are not an asshole.
Yeah.
No, he's not an asshole.
Yeah, that's the other goal, is to not...
It's a cool dude.
You know, it's I said in the what was it, the TwitchCon Q&A, like, I usually start really far from asshole, and then it just eventually meets up 30 episodes down the line where Wilbur and the character become one again, and I become Higgins. So we'll see how long that lasts. But yeah, I'm definitely not trying to play a jackass around this time. So we'll see how that goes. Cool. Anything else you guys want to bring up? Are we good?
No, I had a great time. I love these new characters and I can't wait to get to know them. I can't, this is the thing I think about now. When we look at a character, in this game, and I'm like, I wonder what they're going to be like in 20 episodes or 30 episodes or 50 episodes. Like,
yeah.
What new exciting shit will we learn about these characters? If folks, and this is just an aside, if folks haven't seen this already, in the episode 92, I want to say Q&A thread, Lady H-Jane made a diagram of how long every character has been in the show. So there's like a graph, there's like a chart of all the little green lines for all that stuff. And it's, how long everybody has, how many characters people have played. Like JP, you've played 11 characters in Court of Swords now. And how long each character was around. It's pretty cool. So definitely go check that out if you haven't seen it already. I really liked it.
Totally. Yeah. Shout out to them. The other thing I didn't even think to bring up, I'm still kind of, I don't want to say workshop. That's the only word that's going to fit this. I'm still figuring out the voice of Maharib. I got to say, Zeke, I think you nailed Zoe's voice and like his actions and all that stuff. So keep up with that. That was really cool.
Someone pointed it out, and I didn't realize I was doing Tom Waits, but I'm kind of doing Tom Waits.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, yeah, and it's got this. It's not even just the gravelly part. It's the cadence has a sort of stumble to it. Like it gets a little faster and then a little slower. Like you feel it's an auditory wobble that's in the voice that I really like. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Yep.
Feeling it.
Yeah, I'm trying not to just go straight for like the graspy deep voice and just try to just get my voice as low as possible, but it's really tough to do that without straining your fucking throat for 4 hours. It really every week, is. So.
After the Big King Tao Ti episode, the whole rest of the night, I was like, thank God that character's fucked off because I don't want to have to do that voice again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, still working on that stuff, but I'm sure it'll get worked out. There's definitely been a lot of, since Aaron's in San Francisco this week, there's been a lot of me walking around the house by myself and just saying, Ramus Krill, as low as I can, just over and over and over. And the cats are just staring at me and meowing and wondering what the fuck I'm doing. So, I'll continue to work on it, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Cool. Yeah, take some time.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to get out of here. We'll let you guys know when the next episode's going to be done, or going to occur, rather, because we're probably going to figure that out as soon as we wrap up here. So let's wrap up, go figure it out, and we'll get the information out to you guys. Thanks so much for watching and for your support, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.